Hello and welcome to Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. I am Albert Haim and this is WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website. In the Bix is Alive program, I will play recordings and talk about the music and the life of Bix Beiderbecke. I will also play recordings by other musicians, past and present, who play in a style influenced and or reminiscent of Bix's unique approach to music. In the programs, I will feature various segments. In some instances, I will have a battle of the bands. On other occasions, I will focus on one particular musician or a theme as the centerpiece of the program. At other times, I will simply play recordings that I enjoy. The centerpiece of today's program is a battle of the bands between Jack Hilton and Paul Whiteman. These two band leaders had a lot in common in their careers, and in fact, Jack Hilton has often been referred to as the British Paul Whiteman. First, I would like to read from Grove Music Online what information, biographical information, they provide about Jackson Hilton. He was born in Great Lever near Bolton, England on July 2, 1892. He died in London on January 29, 1965. English band leader and pianist, he first worked as a director of a touring pantomime company in 1909, as a cinema organist in London 1913, and as a freelance musician in various clubs. After military service, he was appointed relief pianist for the dance band of the Queen's Hall Roof. Later, he became this group's arranger and director. Hilton made a number of recordings for HMV from 1921, of which the early example, Wang Wang Blues, 1921, is representative. I remind you, of course, that Paul Whiteman also recorded one Wang Blues very early in his career. I think it was in 1920. I'll check this out. And it was a tune by Henry Bossey. He performed at various venues, including the Grafton Galleries, Piccadilly Hotel, 1922-1923, before enlarging his band to full orchestra size for a highly successful residency at the Alhambra Theater in 1924. In 1925, he set up a booking agency. During the late 1920s, his orchestra became the English equivalent of Paul Whiteman's show band and achieved huge commercial success. Between 1927 and 1938, it completed 16 European tours and numerous substantial engagements in the UK. It was also the earliest British band to broadcast direct to the USA in 1931. In 1935-36, Hilton led a band briefly in the USA. He was responsible for the negotiation of the first British visits of Duke Ellington, 1933, and Coleman Hawkins, 1934, and made two recordings with Hawkins, including the Darktown Strutters Ball, 1939. After his orchestra disbanded in 1940, he became involved in the production of various London stage shows, notably Camelot, 1964. from 1933 to 37, his wife Annis Hilton Ne Parks, 1895-1957, led a variety band which toured in the UK and Europe. All right. I will read about Paul Whiteman, also from the Grove Music Online website, after I play a couple of recordings. Okay, all the recordings from Jack Hilton come from the magnificent site by Pete Feint, which is has a URL, jackhilton.com. And I am grateful to Pete for giving me permission to use the recordings from his site for this particular program. Okay, let's get started with the music. The way I'm going to do this, I'm going to play the same tune first by the Jack Hilton Band and then by the Paul Whiteman Band. And the first tune that I want to play is Oh Miss Hannah. Oh Miss Hannah was recorded by Jack Hilton in Hayes, Middlesex, on April 21st, 1926. There is a vocalist, but Pete tells us that he is unknown, and I regret to say that it's probably one of the worst voices for a vocalist that I ever heard, especially when you compare it with the next version, which is the one by Paul Whiteman with Bing Crosby. That one was recorded on May 4th, 1929. The arrangement is by Bill Challis, and the band consists of Charles Margulis, Harry Goldfield on trumpet, Andy Sigrist, Big Spiderbeck on cornet, Boy Scullin, Wilbur Hall, Bill Rank, and Jack Fulton on trombones, Chester Hazlett on clarinet, alto sax, Charles Strickfaden, baritone sax, English horn, Bernie Daly, clarinet, alto sax, Roy Redmeyer on bassoon, alto sax, tenor sax, Irving Friedman, clarinet, tenor sax, Frank Trombauer, alto sax here, Kurt Dieterle, Misha Russell, John Bauman, Charles Gaylord on violin, Roy Barge on piano, Lenny Hayton on celeste, Min Lee Brook on brass bass, Mike Trafficante on string bass, Mike Pingitori on banjo, and George Marsh on drums. It's quite an orchestra, isn't it? What I'm going to do also, every time I play a selection by Paul Whiteman, I'm going to read the commentary in the discographical section of the magnificent book by Don Reno entitled Paul Whiteman, Pioneer in American Music, Volume 1, 1890-1930. This is Studies in Jazz, number 43, Scarecrow Press, Incorporated, Maryland, 2003. And here is what he says. It's a lovely record that opens with Strickfaden's mellow English horn. Trombauer plays a good hot solo on alto saxophone rather than C melody. On the vocal, Crosby comes in with a jazzy glissando, a great lead-in. Indeed, it's one of my favorite things. Oh, Miss Hannah. The way he comes in is really amazing, and closes with the jazzy phrasing, tastefully overlapped by Bix as he steps into his muted cornet solo. I'm afraid I don't have much discographical information about the Jack Hilton record. Whenever the record is listed in the Jazz Records by Brian Rost, I'm going to have the personnel in the band, but otherwise I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to tell you much except in most instances the name of the vocalist. Okay, so let's listen then to Miss Hannah, first by Jack Hilton in 1926 and then by Paul Whiteman in 1929. Thank you.
the music and the moonlight have got me in a trance. Oh, Lordy me, Miss Hannah, let's go to that dance. Miss Hannah, let's go to that dance.
Well, I think Paul Whiteman won that battle without any trouble. Okay, let's continue with the music. The next tune that I want to play is Louise. Of course, Louise is the classic Maurice Chevalier tune. Chevalier recorded it in March of 1929 for the film Innocence of Paris. And it turns out that Margaret Livingston, who later became Paul Whiteman's wife, was one of the actresses in this film. Now, the recording of Louise by Jack Hilton dates from May 31st, 1929, has a vocal by Sam Brown. Sam Brown is really an excellent vocalist. Unfortunately, when the comparison comes with Bing Crosby, I'm afraid, at least in my estimation, it's no contest. On the same day that Jack Hilton recorded Louise, they also recorded another Maurice Chevalier tune. This was My Ideal, but this one from a different movie that was from Playboy of Paris. Okay, let me give you some discographical information about the Wideman recording of Louise. That's from March 15, 1929, just one day after the recording by Maurice Chevalier came out. Okay, we have Charles Margulis, Harry Goldfield on trumpet, Andy Sigrist on cornet, Boyce Cullen, Wilbur Hall, Bill Rank, Jack Fulton on trombone, Chester Hazlitt on bass clarinet, alto sax, Charles Strickland on baritone, Rube Crozier on bassoon and brass bass, Roy Redmeyer on clarinet, baritone, Irving Friedman, clarinet, tenor sax, Frank Trombauer, clarinet, alto sax, C melody, Kurt Dieterle, Misha Russell, Matty Malnick, John Bauman on violin, Roy Bargey on piano, Lenny Hayton on celeste, Min Liebrook on brass bass, Mike Trafficante on string bass, Mike Pingitori on banjo, and George Marsh on drums. The vocal is by Bing Crosby. This is an arrangement by Roy Bargey. And it says, Roy Bargey's arrangement provides a good setting for a fine Crosby vocal chorus. Strickfaden's baritone sax work is scattered throughout. The record ends with the bluesy C melody sax break by Trombauer. So let's listen then to Louise, first by Jack Hilton and his orchestra, and then by Paul Wideman and his orchestra, both recordings from 1929.
Thank you. little breeze seems to whisper Louise. Birds in the trees seem to twitter Louise. Each little rose tells me it knows I love you, love you. Every little beat that I feel in my heart seems to repeat what I felt at the start. Each little sign tells me that I adore you, Louise. Just to see and hear you brings joy I never knew. Ah, but to be so near you thrills me through and through. Anyone can see why I wanted your kiss. It had to be, but the wonder is this. Can it be true someone like you could love me, Louise?
That was, again, at least in my opinion, a victory for Paul Whiteman, without any question. Okay. Let me read now from the Grove Music Online website the biographical sketch they have on Paul Whiteman. He was born in Denver on March 28, 1890, died in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, December 29, 1967. American band leader. He played viola in the Denver Symphony Orchestra from 1907 and in the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra from 1914. During World War I, he led a 40-piece Navy band playing march tunes by day and show music by night. Sensing new dimensions for popular music in the transition from ragtime to jazz, he organized a dance band in San Francisco in 1918. He held an engagement there in 1919 and later moved to Los Angeles and Atlantic City, New Jersey, before settling in New York in 1920. There he soon became the best-known American band leader, particularly with his recording of Whispering and Japanese Sandman, 1920, which sold more than a million copies. By the early 1920s, his lush orchestral style was widely copied on countless bandstands at home and abroad. He toured the British Isles in 1923 and Europe in 1926. For his first extended concert tour of the USA, Whiteman commissioned George Gershwin to write Rhapsody in Blue, which, as part of Whiteman's concert called An Experiment in Modern Music, was performed with the composer as soloist in Aeolian Hall, New York, in 1924. Favorable publicity prompted Whiteman to stage seven performances of this kind between 1925 and 1938, thereby obtaining wide exposure for such American composers as Victor Herbert, William Grant Steele, and Duke Ellington. Between 1928 and 1952, Whiteman's orchestras were featured on many network radio shows and took part in several films, beginning with King of Jazz, 1930. He provided music for six Broadway shows and produced more than 600 phonograph recordings. Later, he served as music director for ABC. Whiteman was a key figure in American popular music. While jazz purists accuse him of diluting the character of early jazz for commercial purposes, less biased observers applauded the high polish and versatility of his orchestra, which had to be as comfortable in the concert hall as at a college dance. He employed a number of talented musicians in the original arrangement of Rhapsody in Blue. Three of his reed players were required to play a total of 17 instruments. Although his dance music tended to be sedate, there were occasional jazz solos from musicians such as Big Spiderbeck, Frank Tombauer, Eddie Lang, Joe Venuti, Bonnie Berrigan, and Jack T. Garden, and the bass playing of Steve Brown added a jazzy punch to the orchestra's genteel rhythm section. Whiteman's musical memorabilia, including his large library of more than 3,000 arrangements, were bequeathed to Williams College in Williamstown, Massachusetts, where they now form the Whiteman Collection. Okay, let's continue with the music. The next tune that I want to play is one of my favorite. It's Cole Porter's Let's Do It, Let's Fall in Love. Now, the Jack Hilton version is from March 26, 1929, and its title is Let's Fall in Love, parentheses, Let's Do It. There is a vocal there by Jack Jackson, Billy Turnant, and Chappie D'Amato. The version by Paul Whiteman is the other way around, Let's Do It, parentheses, Let's Fall in Love. The first attempt to record that was on December 14, 1928. Three takes were attempted. They were all rejected. On December 27, the band went back and had another three takes. And the fifth one, take five, was mastered. It's an arrangement by Bill Challis. We have Charles Margulis, Harry Goldfield, and Eddie Pinder or Pinder on trumpet. Boyce Cullen, Wilbur Hall, Bill Rank on trombone, Chester Hazlitt on clarinet, alto sax, Charles Strickfaden on oboe, tenor sax, baritone sax, Rube Crozier, bassoon, tenor sax, Roy Redmayer on bassoon, baritone, and tenor sax, Irving Friedman on clarinet, Frank Trombauer, alto sax, Kurt Dieterle, Misha Russell, John Bauman on violin, Roy Bargi piano, Lenny Hayden celeste, Min Lee Brook brass bass, Mike Traficante string bass, Mike Pingitori banjo, George Marsh drums, and the vocalists here are Jack Fulton, Charles Gaylor, and Austin Skin Young. Let's see, there's a very short comment here by Don Reno. It says, Tram has a chorus on alto sax, muted trumpet trio under Strickfaden's baritone sax solo. Okay, let's then listen to first Jack Hilton in Let's Fall in Love, parenthesis, Let's Do It, and then to Paul Whiteman in Let's Do It, parenthesis, Let's Fall in Love, both recordings from 1929.
Fire me from some Argentines without me.
Now I want to go back to 1921, a couple of acoustic recordings of a tune made famous by the French entertainer Mr. Get. She recorded that tune in 1920, and it became a standard. Fanny Brice picked it up, and I believe even Billie Holiday has a recording of it. Mr. Get was an enormous success in France. She was born in 1875, died in 1956. Miss Tinguet made her debut in the Casino de Paris in 1895. She had a long relationship with Maurice Chevalier. Chevalier had made his debut in 1900 at the Café des Trois Lions, and as a singer-comedian. He had a three-year contract with the Folies Bergères, and there he began a 10-year partnership, both, as they say, on and off stage with the star Miss Tinguet. Okay, let me give you some. I have discographical information about my man, Mon Homme. Recorded by Jack Hilton on July 8, 1921. This is Jack Hilton's jazz band, and it has Bert Heath on trumpet, Jesse Stamp on trombone, Al Jenkins on clarinet, alto sax, Dick DePauw on violin, Jack Hilton piano, he's also the leader, Bert Bassett on banjo, and Wag Abbey on drums. The version by Paul Whiteman, My Man, in parenthesis Mon Homme, was recorded on April 4th, 1921. It's an arrangement by Ferdy Groffet. It has Henry Bossi on trumpet, Sam Lewis on trombone, Hal Byers on tenor sax, Ross Gorman on alto sax and bass clarinet, Donald Clark on alto sax, Paul Whiteman on violin, Ferdy Groffet on piano, Mike Pingitori on banjo, Jack Barsby on brass bass, and Harold MacDonald on drums. Don Reno writes, Gorman is the star here, soloing on both alto saxophone and bass clarinet. He played many instruments, but the bass clarinet was one of his favorites, and he may have been one of the most talented musicians on this instrument in his day. So let's listen then to the song that was made famous by Miss Tinguet. My Man, Mon Homme, as interpreted by Jack Hilton, then by Paul Whiteman in 1921. And as a special treat, I will play the original recording from 1920 by Miss Daggett herself. So here are three versions of My Man, Mon Homme.
Thank you.
I thought that the interpretation of Mon Homme by Jack Hilton was pretty good. Okay, now I want to play a couple of recordings that are in part symphonic, in part jazzy. This is Sweet Sue. Jack Hilton returned from the United States on July 10, 1936, and his band had broken up, so when he came back, he reconstituted his band with some new names and some of the old names. The recording of Sweet Sue from August 24, 1936 has Jack Hilton as leader, Jack Raines, Tommy McQuater, and Chick Smith on trumpet. Les Carew, Eric Breeze on trombone, Joe Crossman and Jim Easton on clarinet, alto sax, baritone, E. O. Boxen on clarinet, alto sax, tenor sax, Freddie Switzer, clarinet, tenor sax, Billy Turnant, tenor sax, alto, Harry Carr, George Hopkinson on flute, Jean Pugnet, Jay Borelli, David Wise, Dick Willows, Les Maddox, Cyril Heller on violin, Monia Litter on piano, Jack Hill on guitar, Harry Chapman, Sidonie Gussens on harp, Andre De Vecchi on string bass, Jock Cummings on drums, Jack Simpson on drums also. It's a huge band. I will follow that with Paul Whiteman's recording of the same tune, Sweet Sue. This is September 18, 1928. Again, a huge band. Charles Margulis, Harry Goldfield, Eddie Pinder on trumpet, Bix Beiderbecke on cornet, Boyce Cullen, Wilbur Hall, Bill Rank, Jack Fulton on trombone, Chester Hazlitt on the bass clarinet, alto sax clarinet, Charles Strickfaden, oboe, baritone, alto sax, Roy Redmeyer, flute, bassoon, clarinet, Irving Friedman, clarinet, Frank Trombauer, bassoon, clarinet, Carl Dieterle, Misha Russell, Matty Malnick, Mario Perry, Charles Gator, John Bauman on violin, Roy Bargi, piano, Lenny Hayton, vibraphone, Celeste, Min Lee Brook, brass bass, Mike Traficante, string bass, Mike Pingitori, banjo, George Marsh, drums. And the vocalist is Jack Houlton. The arrangement is by Bill Challis. There is a delicious In the Hat cornet solo, 32 bars by Bix. And Don Rayner tells us, this is certainly one of Challis's best concert arrangements for Whiteman. While working on the verses, in which he utilized woodwinds, oboe, clarinet, bassoon, and bass clarinet, the arranger sought out Pietro Floridia, the pedagogue from Italy with whom Groffet had earlier studied. The first chorus is played by the four trombones in megaphone mutes and is sublimely beautiful. Fulton's falsetto vocal is buttressed by Lenny Hayton's jazzy celeste figures. The record comes to an apex with Bix's solo played in a derby. His solo is set in A-flat, a key Challis often selected for Bix's solos, for example in Dardanella, Because My Baby Don't Mean Maybe Now, Back in Your Own Backyard, Louisiana, and Lonely Melody, because it was mellower and suited Bix's improvisation. All right, so let's listen then to two semi-symphonic, semi-jazzy recordings of Sweet Sue. First, 1936, Jack Hilton, and then 1928, Paul Whiteman. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was interesting, wasn't it? Okay, I left the best for the last. I want to play the two versions of That's My Weakness now. First, the one by Jack Hilton and his orchestra. This is from August 23rd, 1928. And then Paul Whiteman's recording of the tune from June 17, 1928. That was released on August 10, 1928, and it's not clear whether that was enough time for the recording to have been heard by Jack Hilton. Anyway, the band in this case is Charles Margulies on trumpet, Bix Beiderbecke on cornet, Boyce Cullen and Bill Rank on trombone, Chester Hazlett on alto sax, Charles Strickfaden on baritone tenor sax, Irving Friedman on clarinet tenor sax, Frank Trombauer alto sax, C melody, Kurt Dieterle, Misha Russell, Matty Malnek, Mario Perry violin, Roy Bargi piano, Min Liebruck brass bass, Mike Trafficante string bass, Mike Pingitori banjo, George Marsh drums. Vocalist Bing Crosby, Al Rinker, and Harry Barris. The arrangement is by Tom Satterfield. And Don Reynolds tells us, terrific arrangement by Satterfield with numerous clever breaks played by Bix, Tram, and Friedman. Good hotcha vocal by the Rhythm Boys and hot solos by Rank. Indeed, it's a terrific recording, especially the interplay between the Rhythm Boys, Bix, Trombauer, Friedman, all this call and response or trading force, whatever you want to call it. Very, very nice. So then, let's listen to That's My Weakness Now. First by Jack Hilton, then by Paul Whiteman, both recordings from 1928.
Thank you.
I hope you have enjoyed this battle of the bands between Paul Whiteman from the United States and Jack Hilton from the UK. Two great bands, two great dance bands, two leaders who had very important roles in their respective countries. Good music, good dance band, and occasionally some nice hot material. Well, let's get back to Bix now. Have come to the end of today's edition of Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. Please join me again in 4 weeks over WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website, for a new edition of the program. Until next time, this is Albert Haim saying, through his music, Bix is alive.